This week on Vaticano, travel to Markova, the village in southeast Poland where the Ulma family was recently beatified. Then witness the preparations taking place in and around Rome as the Eternal City gets ready for the Jubilee of 2025. And sit down with Dr. Barbara Jatta, director of the Vatican Museums, for a look behind the scenes at one of the largest museums in the world. Vaticano starts now. On September the 10th, Cardinal Marcello Semeraro announced the beatification of farmer Josef Ulma, his wife Victoria, who was 7 months pregnant, and their six children, ages 1.5 to 8. The prefect of the Dicastery for the Causes of Saints celebrated the Holy Mass in Markova, in southeastern Poland, the family's home village. Pope Francis had recognized the murder of the 9 family members as a martyrdom. For the first time in the history of the Church, an entire family has been beatified all at once. The Ulma family, known as the Samaritans of Markova, earned this name as they were moved by the commandment to love and by the example of the Good Samaritan. They were murdered by the Nazi regime for giving refuge to 8 Jews during the Second World War. Poland's chief rabbi, Michael Szudryk, was also present at the ceremony to pay tribute to the martyrs. While the beatification took place in Poland, Pope Francis spoke in Rome about the example of the Ulma family following the Angelus prayer. All'odio e alla violenza che caratterizzarono quel tempo.
They opposed the hatred and violence that characterized that time with evangelical love. May this Polish family, which represents a ray of light in the darkness of the Second World War, be for all of us a model to imitate in the zeal for goodness and service to those in need.
Nel servizio di chi è nel bisogno. Un applauso.
A round of applause for this family of blessings.
After a major earthquake in Morocco on September the 9th, the Holy Father offered his deep solidarity with the country. The Moroccan government said that more than 2,400 people were dead. Hundreds more were injured. The U.S. Geological Survey said the earthquake measured a preliminary magnitude of 6.8 near the resort of Ouaké Medine. It was Morocco's deadliest earthquake in over half a century. Shortly after the disaster, Pope Francis issued a telegram in which he offered the country his prayerful communion in the face of this natural disaster. In the Angelus prayer on Sunday, he called on the faithful to pray for those affected.
I wish to express my proximity to the dear people of Morocco, stricken by a devastating earthquake. I pray for the injured, for those who have lost their lives, so many, and for their relatives. I thank the rescue workers and those who are working to alleviate the suffering of the people. May concrete help on the part of everyone support the population at this tragic time. Let us be close to the people of Morocco.
The Archdiocese of Rabat, meanwhile, urged Catholics in a Facebook post to pray with Our Lady of Morocco for the victims and their families.
Hello and welcome to this week's Vatican Updates, the most important news from Pope Francis and the Vatican. Pope Francis received U.S. actor and director Sylvester Stallone at the Vatican. The Rocky actor met the Pope in the Apostolic Palace together with his brother, his wife, and their 3 daughters. The Vatican released photos of the meeting but did not provide details of the encounter. The Swiss Bishops' Conference revealed an ongoing Vatican-ordered investigation into the handling of sexual abuse allegations by church officials, with the inquiry expected to run until at least the end of the year. Swiss church authorities forwarded the allegations against several maritime and acting members of the Swiss Bishops' Conference to the Dicastery for Bishops in Rome. Several weeks later, the Dicastery ordered a preliminary canonical investigation into the matter. Major Archbishop Stavislav Shakuk, the leader of the Ukrainian Greek Catholic Church, presided over Divine Liturgy in St. Peter's Basilica, where he prayed for peace in the Ukraine war at the tomb of the first pope. Shevkuk said that he wanted to express gratitude to the pope and Catholics around the world for not abandoning Ukraine, and I quote, "for the fact that we can say to Rome, Ukraine, and the world from the tomb of St. Peter, Ukraine stands, Ukraine is fighting, Ukraine is praying," end quote. The Vatican Bank, or IOR, contradicts allegations of an advisor to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. The financial institution published a statement saying that it is not true that it has investments from Russia, nor does it invest money in Russia. This statement also points out that it only works with customers who have a close relationship with the Vatican and the Church. Pope Francis is to travel for a two-day visit to the southern French city of Marseille to close the Mediterranean meetings. The meetings are organized and hosted by the Archdiocese of Marseille and will gather Catholic bishops and young people of different Christian denominations and religions from the 30 Mediterranean countries. Francis will stay there from September 22nd to September 23rd. Thank you for watching this week's Vaticano Updates. I'm Matthew Santucci for EW10 Vaticano.
In a few moments, we'll be back with more on Vaticano. The Jubilee year in Rome is fast approaching. With the theme Pilgrims of Hope, it will begin with the opening of the Holy Doors in December of 2024. Pilgrims will be pouring into the city, an estimated 35 million over the year. Jubilee years are meant for spiritual renewal, to refresh our relationship with God and to seek reconciliation. For Rome, they serve also as an opportunity to improve the city's infrastructure, and 2025 will be no exception. Among 188 different projects to make the city even more beautiful and accessible, one stands out. Most pilgrims who have been to Rome will recognize this road, the Via della Conciliazione, or Road of Conciliation. About 500 meters long, it stretches from St. Peter's and stops here. Beyond is Castel Sant'Angelo, at the moment separated by a very busy main road. Ambitious plans have been released to create a new piazza linking Castel Sant'Angelo to St. Peter's.
From the Vatican came the idea and the need to improve the safety and the quality of the pedestrian circulation from Castel Sant'Angelo, which is a very important touristic area, to the Vatican. Historically, even in the Roman age, this was a classic route from that was at the end, at the time, the Mausoleum of Hadrian and the Circus of Caligula and Nero, then became in the Christian era an even more important connection. There were houses here inside, but you could walk from Castel Sant'Angelo and arrive to the magnificence of the old St. Peter.
The Via della Conciliazione was imagined in the 1930s as a link between the reconciled Italian state and Vatican City. Creating the Grand Avenue involved tearing down the neighborhood previously here. It's perhaps difficult to imagine today, but this reconstruction shows the Spina di Borgo, medieval-like with winding streets opening up to the grand embrace of Bernini's columns.
In 1929, in connection to the reconciliation between the Italian state and the Holy See, because when Italy became a nation state, there was a conflict between the new state and the Holy See. So the reconciliation of the Lateranense Treaty was also supported by this new road, which is Via della Conciliazione.
Improvements were made for traffic already leading up to the Jubilee of 2000, including creating this tunnel to help ease traffic around the area. The full realization of the project couldn't be completed in time because of complications with digging, including the need to move pipes for waterworks and the challenges of digging in an ancient city.
So now we have the Via della Conciliazione, the old tunnel, and now with the new tunnel, really the reconciliation is complete. And I, as I said, we go from the reconciliation to the hug. It's a big hug between Rome and St. Peter and the Holy See.
As the Vatican and the city of Rome are expecting an estimated 35 million people to flock to the Eternal City for the 2025 Jubilee Year of Hope, let's follow the Holy Father's advice and use the upcoming year of 2024 to prepare ourselves spiritually.
The Jubilee has always been an event of great spiritual, ecclesial, and social significance in the life of the Church. Ever since the year 1300, when Boniface VIII instituted the first holy year, initially celebrated every 100 years, then, following its biblical precedent, every 50 years, and finally, every 25 years, God's holy and faithful people have experienced the celebration as a special gift of grace, characterized by the forgiveness of sins, and in particular, by the indulgence, which is a full expression of the mercy of God.
The Vatican museums contain more than 200,000 works of art and objects, and more than 7 miles of corridors and hallways. Dr. Barbara Iatta, the director of the Vatican museums, sat down with EWTN Vatican correspondent Colm Flynn to share her experience and insights.
Dr. Barbara Iatta, it is a pleasure to meet you, and thank you for doing this interview.
My pleasure.
Now, in the Vatican Museums, you have over 200,000 pieces, 7 miles of corridors and hallways. What is it like to be in charge of all of this?
I feel blessed. I feel blessed and privileged. It's almost 7 years that I'm here, and really, blessing and privilege. Every day I enter in this wonderful place.
We mentioned there are just over 200,000 pieces in the Vatican Museums, but only a percentage is on display. A lot of the collection is hidden or left in storage. How do you decide what is displayed to the public?
If we look at the percentage of what is on display and what is in the deposit, is amazing. Certain collections have only the 1%
wow.
on display. We tend to show and we tend to rotate some collections to show them better.
Well, about Vatican diplomacy, because this is a fascinating part of the Vatican Museums that most people don't really know about, and that is the items or artifacts within the Vatican Museums being used as a way to build relations between the Holy See, the Vatican, and other nations around the world. And what kind of results do you get from that, using pieces from the museum to build relations?
Of course, we are a global museum in a way, and a very different museum from global museum, but we have relationship with all the major museums and even the little museums run worldwide. And so we have exchanged for exhibition, or we organize exhibitions in many, many other cities and many other museums.
And the Vatican sees this as a way of teaching people and communicating with people of different races and nations about the tradition and the beauty of the Catholic faith. So maybe where the spoken word is falling down or diplomacy is not working too well, at least the connection can be made through art and the beauty of it.
Beh, la Via Pulcritudinis is a language that everybody can understand.
Pope Benedict XVI said that it was the saints and art that are the greatest apologetics when it comes to our faith.
Exactly.
How they can show it and display it better than anyone
Saint Paul VI said a wonderful, wonderful thing, that the artists are prophets and poets. Prophets because they see things before the others, and poets because they see it in a very essential way. So even a little object, even a little sign, can distillate the sense and the concept. And so prophet and poets, and I think that is really a very, very important heritage that we have, thanks to him.
Finally, Dr. Barbara Iata, 7 years you've been here at the Vatican Museums through incredible times. What are you looking forward to in the future?
We are expecting the Grand Jubilee of 2025, so we are already working on that. We are expecting more and more visitors, more and more pilgrims, that and we would like to welcome well, not only by presenting more and more galleries open to them, but also think of how we can really communicate and share this incredible patrimony, which that is not only a patrimony of art, not only a patrimony of history, but is also a strongly patrimony of faith. And so it's exactly what we would like to do from today, from the past and in the future.
From today well into the future.
Exactly.
Dr. Barbara Iata, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll be back after a short break with more on Vaticano.
This exhibit is focused on the face of Christ and the unity of Christ. When we consider the mysteries of the life of Jesus, we are inevitably led to consider that small mystery that is our existence. That's why we set out on a journey. That's why we need to understand more and more who we are and where we are going. The Jubilee is a milestone on this journey. It tells us that as we approach the holy door, the sign of our conversion becomes more and more concrete and tangible. But above all, it becomes a sign of a personal encounter with the risen Lord.
On September the 6th, in preparation for the Jubilee of 2025, His Excellency Archbishop Rino Fisichella, Pro-Prefect of the Section of New Evangelization of the Dicastery for Evangelization, presided over the inauguration of an exhibition, Open Skies, at the Church of Sant'Agnese in Piazza Navona in Rome. The initiative is an integral part of the program The Jubilee is Culture, which involves a series of cultural events in preparation for the Jubilee of 2025. Open Skies, El Greco in Rome, represents one of the first moments of great art that inaugurates a pilgrimage of beauty towards the Holy Year, inviting all visitors to reflect on spirituality through the lens of the extraordinary art of El Greco. El Greco, whose birth name was Dominikos Theotokopoulos, was a prominent artist of the Spanish Renaissance. Born in Crete in 1541, he received his early artistic training on the Greek island before venturing to Venice to study under the great masters of the Italian Renaissance. His journey eventually led him to Spain, where he spent the majority of his career. El Greco's unique artistic style, characterized by elongated figures, vibrant colors, and a profound sense of spirituality, set him apart as a visionary painter of his time. His works, often infused with deep religious themes, continue to captivate audiences worldwide. For these reasons, the works of El Greco were chosen for this exhibition.
Non dimentichiamo che El Greco...
Let us not forget that El Greco was considered a great artist, inspired by mysticism. It is enough to contemplate his works to see that the East and the West are held together. El Greco's geography is very rich from this perspective. I like to say that he already carries it in his name, Theotokopoulos. If his name is touched by God, then it is a unique experience that he also brought into his portraits, and above all, into the expressions of faith, of those mysteries of our faith that are represented right here in his paintings behind us.
El Greco's art serves as a bridge between different cultures and epochs, and his legacy endures as an inspiration to artists and seekers of spiritual insights alike. The exhibition, organized with great care and attention, is made possible thanks to the loan of three extraordinary works of art, Leave Spain to be exhibited to the public. These masterpieces include the Holy Family with Saint Anne and the Baptism of Christ, both originally housed in the Toledo Hospital de Tavera, and Christ Embracing the Cross from the Museo Parroquial de El Bonillo. These paintings represent some of the most significant and beloved works of El Greco and will be on display until October the 5th, 2023. But how does this initiative fit into the Jubilee as Culture program?
The Jubilee is a profound experience of faith. It means setting out on a journey, becoming pilgrims, and thus encountering Christ. The passage through the Holy Door, we are in preparation, and so this preparation will have deadlines, starting from next January, which will touch on the year of prayer. Pope Francis wanted a whole year before opening the Holy Door, prayer. But the contemplation of the beauty of art is already a prayer. The beauty of art expresses the mystery of our faith and also makes us more aware in pondering who we are and where we are going.
With these three masterpieces of El Greco, this exhibition begins the spiritual and artistic pilgrimage in preparation for the holy year of 2025.